This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
Dr. Howard Chazen joined the FDA in 2002 as the director of CDER's Office of Generic Drugs Clinical Safety Surveillance Staff. Dr. Chazen leads a multidisciplinary team of pharmacists, medical officers, and data analysts to identify and assess emerging complex safety issues related to generic drugs. One focus of the staff is the post-marketing safety of generic drugs, and Dr. Chazen provides oversight on critical aspects of challenging, controversial, and sensitive generic drug safety issues. Thank you very much for taking the time to discuss these topics with us today, Dr. Chazen.
You're very welcome. Glad to be here.
We've been told that generic drugs are as safe and effective as brand name drugs, so why should we be concerned about the safety and surveillance of generic drugs?
Yes, that's correct. Generic drugs are just as safe and effective as brand name drugs. The active ingredient is the same for the brand and generic drug. So typically, the adverse events, or more commonly what we call side effects, will be the same as with the brand. For the generic drug, surveillance includes a thorough review of any differences in formulation, such as inactive ingredients, or variations in packaging or labeling that are allowed by FDA's regulations. Just like with brand name drugs, unanticipated safety concerns about generic drugs can arise over time.
Can you give us an example of that?
Yes, you might have heard recently about the worldwide recall of the blood pressure drug Valsartan. We found that the active ingredient, some generic versions of the medication Valsartan, contain some impurities that don't meet FDA safety standards. Now, FDA has a major operation underway to investigate and find the root cause of these impurities, so that we can prevent a recurrence and protect patients who need this medication.
Yeah, you know, you're right. There has been a lot of news and a lot of information about Valsartan. Can you kind of explain what happened there?
Sure. But first, I want to say that we're keeping patients and providers informed with frequent updates devoted to this recall on the FDA.gov website. In June, the manufacturer of some generic Valsartan products notified FDA's Center for Drug Evaluation and Research, or we like to call CDER, that they had stopped making Valsartan products because an impurity known as N-nitrosodimethylamine, or NDMA for short, was detected in the active ingredient. NDMA is a probable cancer-causing chemical found in trace amounts in water and some foods. However, the levels of NDMA in the active ingredient, while still trace amounts, were found to be unacceptable. During FDA's investigation of NDMA, they found a few Valsartan products that contained another impurity, N-nitrosodiethylamine, or NDEA, that is a similar cancer-causing chemical. I just want everyone to understand something essential about this safety issue. Although the risk to patients taking the affected products was extremely low, FDA takes matters of pharmaceutical quality very seriously. FDA took immediate steps to address those initial findings. CDER's toxicologists and chemists evaluated the risk to the public. On July 2018, we shared what our scientists could estimate the theoretical risk that the NDMA impurity could pose to patients. We estimated that if 8,000 people took the highest Valsartan dose, that's about 320 milligrams a day, from these NDMA-affected medicines for as long as 4 years, that's the amount of time we believe those products had been on the market in the U.S., that there would be only one additional case of cancer over the lifetimes of these 8,000 people beyond the average cancer rate. However, we're still assessing the risk of the other toxin, NDEA, in Valsartan products, and we'll be updating the FDA website as soon as we know more.
Yeah, but why were these impurities found in the generic drug substance and not in the brand drug substance?
Well, sometimes manufacturers obtain new sources of the basic ingredients of a drug, or they modify the way they manufacture a drug. In the case of Valsartan, the changes in manufacturing led to the formation of those impurities. Fortunately, the manufacturer discovered it later during an analysis of the active ingredient. Listeners to the podcast should understand that generic drugs contain the same active ingredients in the same amount as their brand name counterparts, but they're not identical. There can be some differences in inactive ingredients or other minor changes, differences in size, shape, or color. But FDA makes sure that certain standards for strength, quality, purity, and identity are maintained. In fact, FDA makes sure there are no significant differences that could lead to changes in the safety or effectiveness of the drug product.
Does finding impurities like the ones in these products happen often in the case of generic drugs?
Thankfully, no. This valsartan issue is a very unusual occurrence. However, as a general rule, drug safety issues are unanticipated and usually cannot be predicted at the time of FDA's review and approval. They may not even be apparent when a generic drug manufacturer makes what they might feel is a minor modification in a manufacturing process. I'll give you another example to try to illustrate this a bit more. In 2011, the Office of Generic Drugs approved a generic version of lansoprazole. The brand name was more commonly known as Prevacid. This drug is used to lower stomach acid. This generic product was an orally disintegrating tablet that dissolves quickly on the tongue without having to take any water. Nursing homes were administering the generic drug by feeding tube. In some cases, feeding tubes would become clogged as clumps of the generic lansoprazole would stick to the oral syringes and feeding tubes. In the worst case scenario, permanent feeding tubes needed to be surgically removed and replaced.
Well, why did that happen?
Well, although the active ingredients of this product, lansoprazole, were chemically the same as the brand name drug, this generic orally disintegrating tablet was only tested using large bore temporary feeding tubes and not on smaller permanently placed or different sized feeding tubes. The formulation of that particular generic lansoprazole contained inactive ingredients that were just different enough so that it clumped up a bit more when given down a smaller, more permanent feeding tube, and that caused the clogging. Again, no one could have predicted the safety issue at the time FDA approved that generic drug. After this safety issue was identified, the manufacturer of the product voluntarily withdrew it from the market. When certain generic drugs perform differently due to formulation differences, those differences are considered to be significant. These drugs are no longer what we term pharmaceutically equivalent, and therefore are no longer substitutable for the brand.
Thank you for that opening. I'm grateful you used that term, because then my next question is chemistry or pharmaceutical equivalence the only aspect of generic drugs that can cause a safety issue or a safety concern?
Well, you see where I'm going with this. No, because generic drugs are not required to be identical to their brand name counterparts, FDA requires bioequivalence studies. These studies, usually done in healthy volunteers, assure that both the generic drug and brand name drug deliver the same amount of active ingredient and its metabolites into the bloodstream at the same rate.
So, what you are saying is that bioequivalence studies comparing the generic and brand name drug adds a human factor to generic drug development, right?
Yes, that's right. It's not just a chemical issue or a formulation issue. Generic drugs are approved along what we call an abbreviated regulatory pathway, using bioequivalence studies to replace formal clinical trials that would normally take several years to complete. The goal of both evaluation for pharmaceutical equivalence and bioequivalence is to establish how closely similar the generic drug is to its brand name counterpart. These tests, bioequivalence examination of generic drugs, should ensure that the generic drug will perform just as well as the brand name drug in the body. Sometimes we use measures like the rate of absorption and the time to maximum concentration in our bioequivalence review. So sometimes generic drug safety concerns can also arise from problems with the bioequivalence of generic drugs.
Would you happen to have an example of this for our listeners?
Yes. In 2012 and 2013, FDA received reports of problems with two generic versions of methylphenidate hydrochloride extended release, or we'll call ER tablets. The brand name is more commonly known as Concerta. These stimulant drugs are commonly used for attention deficit disorder in children and adults. An extended release or ER product should last at least 12 hours after taking. But patients taking the generic tablets noticed that the stimulant effects would not last all day compared to the brand Concerta. FDA performed an internal investigation that included evaluation of the reports and data submitted with the generic drug applications. FDA also tested the suspect generic drugs at its labs in St. Louis and asked for consultations with other scientific experts.
Okay, so what happened next?
Results of FDA's investigation confirmed that unlike Concerta, these two generic versions of methylphenidate hydrochloride ER tablets did not deliver stimulant effects later in the day.
Well, so how could that happen?
Well, although the total amount of drug released over 24 hours by the two generic drugs was the same as the brand Concerta, the timing of the release and the rate of the release throughout the day was very different from the brand. Specifically, the brand was designed to stimulate the amount of drug in the bloodstream that would occur with three doses of what we call an immediate release version dosed throughout the day. So the extended release dose profile was not achieved by the generic versions. So they failed to deliver the expected therapeutic effect. Because the release of the generic drugs into the bloodstream was so different from the brand, these two generics could no longer be considered substitutable for the brand anymore.
All right, well, thank you. That's a really clear explanation. But what I'm not sure of is what could FDA do next?
Well, what FDA did was they gave these two generic manufacturers an opportunity to provide additional data to support the bioequivalence of their products. The FDA also revised their recommendations in a, well, we have many of these called product-specific guidances. These product-specific guidances are documents on FDA's website that outline our recommendations for bioequivalence testing of many products, including the methylphenidate products. The manufacturers of these two products could either send data to FDA to support the updated standards, reformulate their products, or voluntarily withdraw them from the market. FDA also published a drug safety communication about its investigation related to methylphenidate hydrochloride ER tablets in November 2014 and updated it in November of 2016. This remains an ongoing generic drug bioequivalence issue that is not completely resolved. However, fortunately for patients, there are many other generics available that work just the same as Concerta.
Do you perhaps have another example for us of a new generic drug that also had a safety issue?
Yeah. Several years ago, a clonidine patch, the brand name is Catapress, a drug used for lowering blood pressure, was a new generic on the market. Soon after it was marketed, FDA began receiving complaints about the size of the generic patch and that these patches were not sticking and therefore just falling off. The generic patch itself was almost three times the size of the brand name patch. FDA's inspectors went out to the manufacturing facility and detected quality problems with those particular generic Catapress clonidine patches. Eventually, those particular patches were also withdrawn from the market.
I'd like to ask you to switch gears a little bit with me so we can discuss how CDER's Office of Generic Drugs performs surveillance for generic drugs. What does your group focus on that is different than the focus for brand name drugs?
Well, our clinical safety surveillance staff focuses on complaints about generic drugs. For example, when patients might go from taking a brand drug to a generic or from one generic to another generic, these patients might notice that the generic drug they're getting this month or with this refill does not look the same, and therefore they might believe it does not act the same as the brand drug or even their previous generic. Our staff members investigate reports of generic drugs that may have a strange odor or taste, or perhaps tablets that break apart too soon, or maybe patches that are not sticking, as in my clonidine patch example we talked about just earlier. There may be other concerns related to the off-label use of a generic drug. Sometimes we'll hear about problems with the packaging of a generic drug with a device, such as a faulty dropper or cap, perhaps a syringe that isn't marked correctly, or an injector that doesn't work.
Where or how does FDA hear complaints or concerns about these types of safety issues?
Well, safety issues can come to FDA from many sources. Sometimes individuals or organizations will directly communicate to FDA right through phone calls or emails. We have a MedWatch FDA website. Any consumer can fill out a MedWatch form and submit that to the FDA Adverse Event Reporting System. This is also known as FAERS. Companies that make brand and generic drugs are required to send us spontaneous adverse event reports or side effect reports on their drugs, and also send in annual reports of any of their adverse events that come to them. Sometimes we hear from field alert reports from FDA's offices around the U.S. Sometimes we hear results of epidemiologic studies performed by FDA's Office of Surveillance and Epidemiology. And we even hear from things the first time from scientific literature. That's just a short list.
So having presented that exhaustive list, I'd like to give you the opportunity to tell us more about how does the clinical safety surveillance staff use these data to address safety problems in generic drugs?
Well, one example is that the staff has developed and monitors a newly approved generic watch list. This is compiled from new generics that are new to the market. This is really important because as more generics in a class of products come onto the market, this becomes an important focus. Let me explain a bit more why I mean it's an important focus. Once three or more generics are approved for a brand name drug, the general price of the new generic drugs compared to with the brand becomes significantly lower. Patients who did not have access to brand drugs that were very expensive can now afford the new generics. This means that many more people are using that particular generic drug, and there's a potential for more feedback to FDA. So during each monthly surveillance period, our safety evaluator on the staff reviews the new generics watch list and searches for complaints related to those products. Mm-hmm. Those complaints meeting criteria for a potential safety signal are monitored and discussed at our monthly meetings with other CDER offices and, when necessary, CDER leadership.
What would you like the public to know about how the public can help the FDA in general and the Office of Generic Drugs specifically with generic drug safety and surveillance issues?
That's a great question. If anyone identifies a potential safety issue with his or her generic drug, I recommend that they contact FDA by filling out a MedWatch form on FDA's website. It's really important to provide as many details of the problem and try to identify the generic product as best as they can. Providing as many details as possible, for example, the name of the generic drug, the manufacturer, perhaps a lot number, any information that's usually on the medication bottle that's dispensed at the pharmacy. Those details can help us a great deal to address specific concerns, especially with specific generic products.
Well, Dr. Chasen, this has been an incredibly informative conversation for which I thank you. But before I let you go, what would be your final words in this podcast for our audience today?
Well, I first of all, thank you very much for having me on the podcast. I appreciate the time to talk about this subject. Everyone should remember that generic drugs provide considerable cost savings. They enhance the availability of quality medications to the American public. The American public should have confidence in generic drugs. But as with any medication, unanticipated safety concerns can arise at any point. Our staff take pride in monitoring these unique safety and surveillance issues related to generic drugs. Thanks again.
On behalf of DIA and for all our listeners, thank you for your time today.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.